Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, Walt Whitman and I, was written by Virginia Mazur. It is the 12th in a series of 15 outstanding programs originally presented on The Eternal Light, recreated now to mark The Eternal Light's 15th year of broadcasting.
Come in.
I'm sorry to disturb you, sir, but this boy, we caught him stealing.
I wasn't stealing, I tell you.
What weren't you stealing?
A book, sir. I was...
A book? That's interesting. What book?
Here it is, sir. A book on botany. Leaves of Grass.
It's not a botany book, sir.
I know.
It's poetry.
I know. I happen to be an admirer of Walt Whitman myself.
Well, you're not going to let him get away with this, sir. If everybody who came into Wanamaker's store helped themselves...
I'll handle this, Mr. Casey. You may go.
As you say, sir, but stealing is stealing. Oh, this world is certainly coming to us.
He's right, you know.
But I didn't steal it. Not exactly. I was bringing it back when he caught me.
Oh, I see. Can we put it this way? You were the victim of an irresistible temptation?
Yes, sir. I'll
put you to a test. If you are the ardent admirer of Whitman that you claim to be, then quote me something.
Well, that's easy. This is my favorite one right now. It's called, Give Me the Splendid Silent Sun. Give me the splendid silent sun, with all his beams full dazzling.
Give me juicy autumnal fruit, ripe and red from the orchard.
Give me a field where the unmowed grass grows. Give me an arbor. Give me the trellised grape.
The year was 1896. The place was Wanamaker's department store in New York City, and I was the boy to whom it happened. All these years, a part of myself, a young and dauntless self, has resided within those granite walls. I go to my bookshelves. Yes, there it is. The yellowed copy of Leaves of Grass that I took from Wanamaker's nearly 60 years ago. The book falls open at the familiar place.
Give me the splendid silent sun with all his beams full dazzling.
Give me the splendid silent sun. I'm an old man now, and the Wanamaker's I knew has vanished. But the words sparked the old flame. I'm a boy again, with a boy's aching grasp after the indefinite. I'm 16. I work 12 hours a day in a sweatshop. I glue red, white, and blue cotton flags onto wooden sticks. There are no windows in the factory. Everywhere is the sickening, all-pervading odor of fish glue. 150 flags an hour, 12 times 150, 1,800 flags. So I measure off my days.
Swine hunt? What do you call yourself doing?
Let go my ear. The whistle blew. I'm getting ready to go home.
How many times do I tell you in this factory we do not go by whistles? We go by my watch. Back to work, all of you. Swine hunt? Lass boop? Verflucht der Hund?
Like the other immigrants pouring into America in those years, we had come to the new world to escape the sorrows of the old. So far, I had seen no essential difference. If the old world had had its oppressors, so did the new in the shape of Mr. Myers, my boss. What was democracy to me? A red, white, and blue flag on a wooden stick. Walt Whitman was to enlighten me. But without Zelig, there would have been no Walt Whitman.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm Zelig.
I'm Mars.
Oh, good. You look like an intelligent sort. Let's talk.
Listen, you're new. You don't know old Myers. If he catches anybody talking...
Everything in life is a risk. Why do you work in this grubby place anyway?
I've gotten into a bad habit. Eating. Why do you?
Well, with me, it's merely a means to an end. By day, I'm a sticker boy. By night, I pursue my real goal.
Well, what's that?
I'm a theological student.
No, you don't say.
Don't let it oppress you.
I'm surprised, that's all. My mother's uncle was a rabbi. He did nothing but study and pray all day long. Back in Russia, it was.
This is America.
I must say, I can't see anything so wonderful about America. But getting back to my uncle, he was a very holy man.
I've no doubt. I gather you think that holiness is inconsistent with this sweatshop.
Well, you stay here a while. For one thing, it smells.
You're wrong. It stinks. But that's immaterial. Why should I wish to see God better than this day?
Huh?
I see something of God each hour of the 24 and each moment then. In the faces of men and women I see God, and in my own face in the glass. I find letters from God dropped in the street, and every one is signed by God's name, and I leave them where they are. For I know that wheresoever I go, others will punctually come forever and ever.
Say that again, say it slow. I never heard anybody talk like that before.
You idiot, that's not me talking, it's Walt Whitman.
Who's he?
Do you mean to tell me you've never heard of Walt Whitman?
Schweinhund! What do you think you are doing?
Who is he?
Quiet, here comes old Myers.
I don't care about Myers. Who is Walt Whitman? I have said that the soul is not more than the body. And I have said that the body is not more than the soul. And nothing, not God, is greater to one than oneself is. And whoever walks a furlong without sympathy walks to his own funeral dressed in a shroud. And I or you, pocketless of a dime, may purchase the pick of the earth.
I was 16, a sticker boy in a smelly sweatshop. An immigrant, poor, despised, inarticulate, a nameless face in the crowd. But Walt Whitman gave me an identity.
And there is no trade or employment, but the young man following it may become a hero. And there is no object so soft, but it makes a hub for the wheeled universe. And I say to any man or woman, let your soul stand cool and composed before a million universes.
In the world I lived in, one did not own books. My friend Zelig had borrowed a copy of Leaves of Grass from the public library and painstakingly copied out his favorites. I would do likewise.
I'm sorry. I can't let you take this book.
I can't take it? Why? Why can't I?
Walt Whitman isn't considered suitable for children.
Well, I'm not a child. I'm 16.
16? You don't look it.
But I am. I'll bring my mother. She'll tell you.
I'm sorry. You'll be much better off not reading this kind of thing, now or ever. It'll only unsettle you. What about a nice boy's book? Something like Tom Brown's School Days.
A child said, "What is grass?" fetching it to me with full hands. How could I answer the child? I do not know what it is any more than he. I guess it must be the flag of my disposition, out of hopeful green stuff woven. Or I guess it is the handkerchief of the Lord, a scented gift and remembrance designedly dropped, bearing the owner's name somewhere in the corners, that we may see and remark and say, whose? Night after night I stayed in our tenement kitchen, making my copy of Leaves of Grass from Zelig's copy.
Are you still up? You better come to bed now, Maurice.
In a little while, Mama.
The fire burned out.
I know it.
You'll freeze to death.
No, I won't. Give me the splendid silent sun. Give me the splendid silent sun, with all his beams full dazzling.
Give me the splendid silent sun. I was intoxicated, afire with my own power. I knew that all was written to me, and I must get what the writing meant. I knew I was deathless. My orbit could not be swept by a carpenter's compass. I knew the Spirit of God was the brother of my own, and that all the men ever born were also my brothers, and the women my sisters and lovers. The sweatshop lost its stench. The threat of old Myers, my boss, diminished. I took the poems to work with me and kept them hidden under a pile of flags, snatching secret glances at them when old Myers wasn't looking. It was tempting fate.
So, what you think you are doing?
What? Nothing, Herr Myers.
That is right, nothing. Here I got a big order, 5,000 flags for the Grover Cleveland parade. You sit doing nothing. I will teach you.
Don't you hit me.
Put that ruler down. It's got a brass edge.
Stop it. Stop it. Leave me alone.
Do you want to kill him?
That will teach you who is the boss. Back to work, all of you. Weinhund, Louse Boop.
What does he think this is? The old country? Tomorrow I will go with you and repay this Kazakh with interest.
No, you won't, Mama. I'm not a baby. I can take care of old Myers myself. Can't I, Zelig?
Take my advice. He's got his eye on you now. Leave Walt Whitman at home.
I will not.
That's right. Don't cut tow to him.
He caught me unawares. Tomorrow I'll be ready for him. If he comes near me, I'll pick up whatever I can find and knock him cold.
What do you say to that, Zelig?
Could I have another cup of tea, Mrs. Stern?
You're evading.
No. You want an easy answer. There isn't one. Nothing is black or white, yes or no. Look, Mara, suppose you do knock Herr Myers cold. He comes to, or he doesn't. If he doesn't come to, you're arrested. If he does come to, he fires you.
Let him fire me.
Yes, let him.
$6 a week is not to be sneezed at.
You are talking from your stomach. What about justice?
Very well. We will consider the case from its moral, philosophic point of view. Consider the history of mankind.
I don't care about mankind. What about my son, Maurice?
Give me an instance where violence hasn't begotten more violence. Do you expect by knocking Herr Myers cold to purge the evil out of his soul?
You talk very smart, Zelig. Now you answer me this. Did Moses or didn't he strike the Egyptian overseer?
He did indeed.
Then why do you say I shouldn't hit old Myers?
I don't say you shouldn't. I'm merely trying to point out the moral consequences of an act of violence.
You're being inconsistent.
Morality is always inconsistent with an immoral world. Hit Herr Myers if you must, Morris. But remember, you will have not won the argument. Justice will not prevail. No. The only enemy we can hope to persuade to our point of view is a live enemy. Now, may I have my tea, Mrs. Stern?
I believe a leaf of grass is no less than the journey work of the stars. And the pismire is equally perfect. And a grain of sand and the egg of a wren. And the running blackberry would adorn the parlors of heaven. And the narrowest hinge in my hand puts to scorn all machinery. And the cow crunching with depressed head surpasses any statue. And a mouse is miracle enough to stagger sextillions of infidels. What do you think of this, Zalek? A mouse is miracle enough to stagger sextillions of infidels.
How many times?
I think you'd better put your poems away. Old Myers is on a rampage this morning.
I'm ready for him.
Cleveland Parade. Get busy. Stop sitting on your hands. Work. Schweinhund, what do you think you are doing?
Working, Herr Myers?
Then what are these papers doing here?
Don't you touch my poems. Put them down.
Trash! I'll teach you to read poetry in my shop.
Give me back my poems.
Never. Into the fire they go, like this.
You dog! You dirty, low-down dog! I'll pay you back for this.
I show you who is boss in this factory. I'm going to give you such a beating.
Oh, no, you're not. Never again. I'm warning you. Don't you come near me.
Myers, put down that paperweight.
You think I am afraid of you, you lost boy? Oh,
watch out, Herr Myers.
Watch out! Watch out!
Stand back! Stand back! Get some water!
Zalek! Zalek, is he breathing?
No thanks to you. I hope you're satisfied.
I didn't know he would bleed so much.
You'd better clear out of here fast, my friend.
Zalek, he's not going to die, is he?
Maurice, stop pacing up and down. Sit down, go to bed, read a book, do anything.
Suppose he dies, Mother.
You can say self-defense. He was coming at you with that ruler.
I never thought he would bleed so much.
Go in the other room. It might be the police.
I'll face them.
Do as I tell you. I'm coming. Oh, Zalek.
Good evening, Mrs. Stern.
Oh, what do you mean, scaring me out of my wits? Maurice, come out! It's Zalek!
Zalek! Is he dead?
Fortunately for both of you, no. 5 minutes after you left, he began to come to. He was up on his feet in another 5 minutes.
Oh, thank God.
He refused a doctor, so we bandaged his head with the stars and stripes, and by mid-afternoon, he felt strong enough to give one of the sticker boys a beating.
So I didn't teach him a lesson.
Did you think you would?
Anyway, Maurice had his satisfaction.
But I'm out of a job.
All that howling New York winter, I pounded the pavement looking for work. A nameless face in the crowd. My beloved poems were gone, and with them, my identity. Late one afternoon, more to get out of the cold than anything else, I stepped into Wanamaker's store. Blind instinct led me to the book counter.
Did you wish to purchase a book?
No, thank you. I'm just looking. Wait a minute, miss.
Yes?
I wonder if you have a copy of Leaves of Grass?
Leaves of Grass? Yes, we have it.
Could I see it?
I suppose so. It's right here under the counter. I'll get it. Oh, here it is. But be careful, it's very expensive.
How much does it cost?
$3.75.
$3.75?
Mm-hmm. Do be careful with it. Yes, madam, what can I do for you?
Give me the splendid, silent sun. Tears came into my eyes at the lines. Why should I be denied everything? Why not just take it and walk out?
Pardon me. Are you finished with the book? This lady would like to buy it.
I was saved. But salvation produced no ecstasy. With sinking heart, I watched the book being wrapped, watched the lady depart. I will never know what made me follow her. At the haberdashery counter, she stopped, selected a half a dozen neckties, paid for them with a crackling $10 bill. Paid for them and departed, leaving the book on the counter.
Lady, you left something.
In a daze, I watched her disappear through the big front doors to be swallowed up in the snow outside. I turned back. There it was, my book, discreetly wrapped, waiting for me to pick it up. Surely God must have intended for me to have it. The clerk was busy down the counter. I snatched it up, hid it under my coat, and made for the door.
Maurice! Stop!
Haven't you got a conscience?
Mama, Zelig, listen to me. Stealing from a store is not like stealing from a person. A store has no heart. A store can't suffer. Besides, a store is insured.
Shoddy excuses. Can't you think of any better ones?
Of course I can. The book is rightfully mine, Zelig.
Why?
Because I appreciate it. That woman, she's fat, indolent, stupid. What's Walt Whitman to her? He wrote it for me.
Such talk.
Rationalizations. The ends never justify the means. You know it.
You're narrow-minded. A prig.
Be quiet. Listen to him. He warned you about Herr Myers. You almost committed murder. And here you go again.
Stealing is not murder.
Thou shalt not steal. It's one of the commandments.
Oh, keep quiet, both of you. I'll take it back. Now are you satisfied? Miss, this book...
Yes, what about it? Why, that's the copy of Leaves of Grass I sold not 15 minutes ago. Where did you get it?
I found it.
Found it? He did nothing of the sort. He took it from the haberdashery counter. I've been hunting for him up and down. Now you come with me.
Imagine a young boy like that stealing a book.
I didn't steal it. I didn't. I was bringing it back.
A likely story. Come along now.
Where are you taking me?
Upstairs. The manager's office. He'll make short shrift of you.
So that's what happened. You were the victim of a sudden, irresistible impulse. But in the end, your better nature prevailed. You were returning the book when apprehended by the vigilant Mr. Casey, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Well, if you were the ardent admirer of Walt Whitman that you claim to be, then surely you must have committed some of his poems to memory.
Oh, I have.
Mm-hmm. And give me a stanza or two.
Well, I guess this is my favorite right now. It's called Give Me the Splendid Silent Sun. Give me the splendid silent sun, with all his beams full dazzling.
Give me juicy autumnal fruit, ripe and red from the orchard.
Give me a field where the unmowed grass grows. Give me an arbor. Give me the trellis grape.
Well, that's enough. The defense may rest. I think you've acquitted yourself.
You mean I can go?
One moment. The book. I'd like to write something in it. Then you may take it with you.
Me take it? But the lady who bought it...
Oh, the store will see that she gets another copy. I'd like this one to be yours.
It happened almost 60 years ago. I'm an old man now and Wanamaker's New York store is no more. I go to my bookshelves. There it is. The yellowed copy of Leaves of Grass with the remembered inscription.
I cannot give you the splendid silent sun you so ardently desire, but perhaps you will accept this gift from one admirer of Walt Whitman to another.
Give me the splendid silent sun. The words can still spark the old flame. I am a boy again with a boy's aching grasp after the unreachable. I am a boy walking home from Wanamaker's in the snow. A boy walking home under halos of swirling city lights.
If you would like a copy of today's anniversary script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Doris Sherry of New York City, distinguished playwright, producer, and a member of the Board of Overseers of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Mr. Sherry.
The immigrant boy we heard about today is only one example out of hundreds of great men of Europe who grew up under the influence of the ideals of Jefferson, Franklin, and Lincoln, to name but a few Americans whose ideas have profoundly affected people throughout the world. Books crossed the ocean, and in those books were found the common body of ideas which are the true American heritage. From the history of Judaism, we know that the words of Benjamin Franklin were translated into the ethical literature of East European Jewry. A man like Solomon Schechter, who came to the United States as an adult, could write a brilliant and penetrating essay on Abraham Lincoln because he had read Lincoln's words in his youth. When men such as these arrived in the United States, therefore, they were not coming to a refuge, a transient home, but rather to their spiritual and ethical home, which would be their permanent physical home. Why? Because the truths of life are indivisible and universal. Some people say that differences of language divide men. This is not so. It is the reluctance to communicate which divides. No matter what language people speak, they will find a way and be able to communicate ideas of importance that they wish to share, even if they have to talk with their hands. Therefore, it is not how strong our radio transmitters are that will determine the impact of American ideas on the world, or how fast our newspapers are circulated around the world. It is what we communicate which will determine the strength of American ideas throughout the world. And what is most important is that when we communicate the picture of the United States, we present to the world exactly what we are and what we strive to be. That is the true voice of America, its variety, its unity, its humanity, the dream it wants to live. As I live through the experience of this immigrant lad today, finding his own truth in the truth of Walt Whitman, I lived my own experience because, although I was born in this country, I too had to discover America through its history, its music, its mountains and deserts and plains, its cities and its rivers, and its poetry.
Thank you, Mr. Sherry. Our eternal light drama today, Walt Whitman and I, was written by Virginia Mather and was based on a story by Maurice Stern in the New Yorker magazine. It was the 12th in a series of 15 outstanding programs originally presented on the Eternal Light, recreated now to mark the Eternal Light's 15th year of broadcasting. Cantor Robert H. Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Larry Robinson, Norman Rose, Lou Sorin, Edwin Bruce, Nina Hansen, Mary Lou Foster, and Joseph Boland. Our narrator was Leon Janney. This is Vic Roby. Our program was directed by George Voutsas. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.